In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text from Genesis 22 begins with these words. After these things, God tested Abraham. These words are meant to send us back and consider everything that's happened to Abraham in this life up to this pivotal moment in Scripture. First of all, he was called to leave his father's house, a call to forsake idol worship and to trust in the true God alone. After that, however, Abraham's story starts to spiral a bit. Abraham went down to Egypt during a famine, and fearing that he would be killed by the Egyptians because Sarai, his wife, was so beautiful, he passed her off as his sister. This put her in danger of being violated by the Egyptian pharaoh. Now later, God renewed his covenant with Abraham, promising him land and that the Savior would come from his line. But again, Abraham failed. He didn't believe God could give him a child from his aging wife, and so he took his wife's servant Hagar and conceived a child with her. After that, God renewed the covenant with Abraham again and promised that Isaac would in fact be born of his wife Sarah, that she would be his mother. After that, Abraham again tried to pass off Sarah as his sister, fearing harm from yet another foreign king. Abraham's track record in trusting God was spotty at best. It is good for us to see this and to remember it, because otherwise the faithful in the Scriptures would become unrealistic and two-dimensional characters. The Scriptures report reality to us, a reality that we can see well beyond ourselves and a reality that we can see within ourselves. Today's text presents us with a beautiful and stark contrast between the faithfulness of God and the fickleness of man. You know the story. God tells Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac, the one that he loves. There are echoes there of the New Testament, are there not? This is the same son that God had promised to Isaac decades before. This was the same son through whom all of the families of the earth were to be blessed. This was the son who carried in his body the Son of God himself. Now we can only guess at Abraham's state of mind, but it is the devil who really loves to play the what-if game with theology. In fact, this has always been the devil's game. What did God really say about this fruit? He asked Eve. He would even try a similar trick at Christ's temptations. If you are the Son of God. Now, the reason the devil loves the what-if theology game is because it sows uncertainty. And uncertainty is deadly for Christians. Our Lutheran fathers called this the monster of uncertainty. God wants us to have a clear conscience before him and a trust that is firm. But why? Well, because he wants us to know for certain that we do in fact belong to him and that his anger is not upon us. Death, or rather doubt, puts a wedge between us and God. Consider, for instance, Thomas on the night of the resurrection. He doubted that Jesus was raised from the dead. And we could easily say that if someone denies that, that Jesus is raised from the dead, that man is lost. The devil wants to sow seeds of uncertainty in order to rob us finally of our hope in Christ. This is what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 10. He writes, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a greater high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Notice how the writer talks about the confidence that we have before God and a full assurance and holding fast our confession without wavering. There is no doubt at all in his words. And what is that assurance based on? Well, it is based on the fact that he who made the promises to us, that is, God himself, is faithful. The guarantee is the flesh and blood of Jesus. Dear people loved by God, while we do live in uncertain times, we also have a God that has made you promises in the flesh and blood of his Son, Jesus. He is faithful and he cannot lie. So what does the Bible actually say about Abraham? Well, we get a hint in our text itself. Notice how in Genesis 22, Abraham tells the young men that went with him that he was going to go and worship with the boy, and he and the boy would come back. There's hint number one. For the rest of the story, though, we have to jump back into the New Testament to Hebrews chapter 11, which goes on like this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. And so here, Hebrews shows us that a shift has happened within Abraham. Abraham held on to the promise that God had made him through his son Isaac, that Isaac would not just carry on the family name, but that he would also carry in his body the promise that God had made. In going to sacrifice his son, Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead in order to keep that promise. Abraham knew that God would be faithful to his promises even when he himself had doubted them from time to time. In this account, we also see a foreshadowing of the guarantee that we have in the flesh of Jesus. When Abraham lifted up his eyes from his son on the altar, he saw the ram that the Lord had provided as a substitute for Isaac. The ram would die in Isaac's place. In this ram, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ram that our Lord has provided for us to die in our place and secure the promise of God's favor upon us. He named the place Moriah, which means the Lord will provide, for it was on that very mountain that God provided a substitute for Isaac. But notice the future tense. Because it is also on that mountain that the Lord provided the substitute for all sinners. For it was on that mountain later on that God would slay his son for sinners. We do live in a perilous time. This virus has afflicted us in body, but it's also wormed its way into our souls. It has taken life and it has frightened the world into a panic. But we do not have to be afraid of it. Like the promise that God made to Abraham about Isaac, we also have a dependable word from the mouth of the Son of God himself, who says to us, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Dear friends in Christ, we are in a time of testing. Our God has given us sure and certain promises, promises even greater than what he'd given to Abraham to carry us through these gray days. We need not fear the devil. We need not fear a virus. Abraham's only comfort was that God had promised to give him a line of descendants from Isaac. But you have the promise that God will raise you from the dead. What can the devil or what can a virus do to negate that promise of God? Psalm 27 says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Your life, dear friends in Christ, is hidden with God in Jesus. Your hope is in Him, and you will not be put to shame. Moreover, is this not the chief point of all of the Scriptures? That we should not doubt, but hope, trust, and believe with all certainty that God is merciful, kind, and patient, that He does not lie and deceive, but is faithful and true to His promises. He has bound the promises that He has made to the flesh and blood of Jesus. He handed His Son, His only Son, whom He loves, into death for our sins, so that everyone who believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. When we look upon the Son, lifted up on the cross, there can be no more doubt whether God has been reconciled to us and looks on us in love. His wrath over our sins has been removed, and the proof is in that He has promised His Son to die for us sinners. O people loved by God, these are perilous times, but we can go forward in good cheer. Even as we now enter a holy season that would put before us the most holy suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the monster of our uncertainty is cast out. Your standing before God is secured in the crucified and risen Jesus. And so let us, like Abraham, hold fast to this promise. Even in these last days, the Lord will provide. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.